Greetings. You are listening to Christian Radio, WYYC, York, Pennsylvania, presenting the 15 Minutes of the End Time Religious Matrix, hosted by CephasMinistry.com, Westminster, Colorado, since 1992. Your host is Rita Williams. Email r421@earthlink.net. People always ask, why Cephas and how do you spell Cephas? In John 1, 42 and 1 Peter 2:5, the Bible states Cephas represents a stone. Cephas is spelled C-E-P-H-A-S. C as in Charles, E, P as in Peter, H as in help, A, S as in Sam. Matrix is most likely another unfamiliar concept if you have not seen the movie Matrix. Webster's Dictionary states the following. Matrix is something like a mold or womb that gives form, foundation, or origin to something else enclosed inside of it. Matrix can also apply to many concepts. Take a womb, for instance, in which a baby is conceived. The mother's body nourishes the child. She has no idea what kind of individual the child is going to be once it is outside of the womb. This program is about exposing the religious matrix. It's something that is inside the womb of the Vatican, which we call the religious matrix, could be you, may or may not be caught up in it. Your eternal life could be in jeopardy if you don't pay close attention to this program. It will be packed with information that you need to know if you are the something that is inside of the religious matrix. Cephas Ministry has dedicated 3 websites to exposing the religious matrix. Cephas Ministry has cephas-radio.com. Programs are archived and downloadable there. Cephas-news.com. It has 60 free films exposing the religious matrix. And matrix.cephasministry.com, where comments are active. The reason for this broadcast is Pope Francis. He suddenly came on the scene and seemingly like a messiah, attracts people of faith, interfaith, of all faith, Hollywood, media, and even atheists to himself as no other pope has before. Even though Pope Francis tells people that he doesn't have time left to live, much time left to live, he travels from country to country. To his own amazement, he is greeted by millions expressing euphoria. Many are moved to tears, hoping he will be an acting savior, although his message is about worldly issues like global warming, poverty, and tolerance. Most believers are pro-Israel. The Pope Francis is pro-Palestinians, who are Muslims. What I noticed recently, Christians seem to go the same way. Why are they moving in the direction of Islam? Do you know that Christianity and Islam have developed a new movement named Chrislam? In spite of the fact that Christians are taught in 2 Corinthians 6:15, and what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? In one of the last books of the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 1 through 13, King James Version, the prophet describes what God told him. Jerusalem shall be inhabited as a town without walls for the multitude of men. God promises that he will be the glory in Jerusalem again. The Lord told Zion to come home because he wants them to know him and rejoice because he plans to live in the midst of them. The verses end with, "And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up of his holy habitation." The undercurrent, which we call the religious matrix, began with Pope John Paul II. With Vatican II, the Vatican took a new direction that may or may not be noticed by Catholics. Pope Francis is an atheist gathering the tares, Matthew 13, verse 30. Those who follow him will be subject to the delusion in 2 Thessalonians 2:11. In other words, they will be punished with spiritual blindness. The Word was made flesh, John 1:14, representing Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Since God left the preaching up to men, I will be letting them tell you what to be aware of. Keep listening after I sign off. To stay connected, subscribe to free newsletters at go-deepest.com. God bless you and thanks for listening. Shalom. Following is an excerpt from Douglas Batchelor, who analyzes the Pope's call for unity of all religions, part 2.
Historic, because in 1999, the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestant Lutheran Church signed an agreement that brought an end to the protest. Luther believed that we were saved by grace through faith alone. Amen.
Little correction. It wasn't just Luther that believed this. It was tens of thousands of dedicated Christians that wanted to get back to the Bible. Huss believed it, Wycliffe believed it, Tyndale believed it, all the great reformers believed it. It wasn't just Luther.
But that's not it. The Catholic Church believed that we were saved by works. And that was the protest. In 1999, they wrote this together. Because in the Protestant Church, there were a lot of cheap salvations. People were getting born again, but no fruit whatsoever. And because we didn't even look for fruit, it wasn't the issue. Because it wasn't necessary for salvation. And no, it's not. But it's a good judge if you are saved. So what these two churches did, they put the two definitions together. Listen to it. I'm reading verbatim from the Catholic Vatican website. Justification means that Christ himself is our righteousness, in which we share through the Holy Spirit in accord with the will of the Father. Together we, Catholics and Protestants, Lutherans, believe and confess that by grace alone, in faith in Christ's saving works, and not because of any merit on our part, we are accepted by God and receive the Holy Spirit, who renews our hearts while equipping and calling us to good works.
Well, this may sound like it was just the protest of Luther. Luther didn't protest against one thing. He nailed 95 different points of protest on the doors of the Wittenberg Church. This is addressing one of the issues. It's not the only issue. And you'll notice that in the wording, in the language that's used in this agreement, it's very convoluted and cagey, because the Catholics were looking for a wording where they would not need to renounce what they formally believed or say there was anything wrong with their doctrines. And so, don't have time to go into that, but it's not exactly what it appears on the surface.
This brought an end to the protest of Luther. Brothers and sisters, Luther's protest is over. It's yours. In 1999, this was signed by the Lutheran Church, the Federation Worldwide. later, about 5 years later, the Worldwide Methodists signed the same agreement, but as of today, we still have had no Protestant evangelicals that will stand up and sign this agreement to agree with our brothers and sisters that we are saved by grace through faith to good works. And I believe that's something that needs to be fixed.
Let's pause. So he's really throwing down the gauntlet. He's saying Lutherans have signed an agreement that the protest is over, and the Methodists signed this agreement. Now we're looking for the evangelicals and the Pentecostals to sign this agreement, and so we can all be one again. The Protestant Reformation, not necessary. We're all in harmony now.
There's a challenge for you. So the protest has been over for 15 years. And I get a bit cheeky here because I challenge my Protestant pastor friends. If there is no more protest, how can there be a Protestant church?
I think it's easy for us to see where this is going. The distinction between Protestants and Catholics is being chipped away at. This is a movement towards a one-world religion. This is exactly what prophecy says has to happen before Jesus comes back. The world's being shaken right now. There'll only be two groups when Christ comes back. One group will have the seal of God, the other group will have the mark of the beast. Obviously, if there are 33,000 different Christian denominations, something has to happen to polarize these two groups into those one of those two camps. This is where you're seeing prophecy being fulfilled right now, friends. These are the kind of statements, these are the kinds of appeals that will be made to bring everybody together into one unified body, where we downplay doctrine, downplay the Bible.
Maybe now we're all Catholics again. But we are reformed. We're Catholic in the universal sense. We are not protesting the doctrine of salvation by the Catholic Church anymore. We now preach the same gospel.
Do we preach the same gospel? Unless there's been some radical changes since 1999 that I don't know about, just to give you a few examples of some of the distinctive differences that brought about the Protestant Reformation, the Bible teaches we're not supposed to bow down to statues. That's like one of the Ten Commandments. And the law of God is part of the gospel. Roman Catholic Church says we should bow down to statues. The Bible teaches that all have sinned except Jesus. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that Mary was sinless. The Bible says that Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. The Roman Catholic Church says that Mary is a co-mediator. The Bible teaches that Christ offered his sacrifice once on the cross for all, Hebrews 7:27. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that the priest sacrifices Christ on the altar whenever he conducts Mass. The Bible teaches that all Christians are saints and priests, Ephesians 1:1. The Roman Catholic Church says that saints and priests are a special caste within the Christian community. The Bible teaches that all Christians should know that they have eternal life, 1 John 5:13. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that all Christians cannot and should not know that they have eternal life. The Bible teaches that we should call no religious leader father. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that we may call priests and the Pope father. And Bishop Tony Palmer is also called Father Tony. The Bible teaches not to pray in vain repetition. Yet the Roman Catholic Church says you can say Hail Mary and Our Father in vain repetition. The Bible teaches to confess your sins to God only, that only God can forgive sins. Roman Catholic Church says you must confess your sins to the priest. The Bible teaches before baptism, a person should be taught the gospel and the commandments of Christ, believe and repent. The Roman Catholic Church teaches little infants can be baptized, or if they die before, they'll be consigned to hell. The teachings regarding purgatory, limbo, prayers to the dead are nowhere in Scripture, but they are relics of paganism. Now, there's great differences theologically between what the Protestants died for. They shed their blood for these principles of truth and what the Catholic and some of the Orthodox churches believe. And are we supposed to just say the truth doesn't matter anymore? Let's just love each other and that's how we're going to do evangelism? Evangelism must be based on truth. I can start preaching now, but we'll go back to the video.
We now preach you are saved by grace through faith. Alone, the word alone, was the argument for 500 years. The word alone is there. You can read it yourself. The protest is over. The protest is over. So let me pray, and then we'll start the video. I believe we will begin to see more and more people called out to go into the world and work among the churches in the spirit of Elijah.